right. Well, some of you the last several years, you've had the opportunity to meet Pastor Ron. And you were with us. We couldn't remember if it was a Sunday or a Wednesday. But you had been with us, I think, prior before leaving for Uganda, wasn't it? And some of you, before Darcy's India. Saying yes, so it's right. a little while ago, and some of you, I mean, they just have an interesting story if you ever have a chance to chat with them, because they felt called to missions coming out of seminary. We, on the AFLC missions board, had called them to go to India, and they actually moved there and got settled there and essentially got forced to leave there, and then we resettled them in Uganda, where they've begun their ministry along with some of our other missionary families and have been doing quite well. But we're glad to have them with us. And just so all of you know, there's a display table for them in the back, which we encourage you to check out if you haven't already after the service. And they'll be floating around to visit with you and answer any questions you have as well. There's a basket back there if you'd like to, you know, drop in a gift to them. Of course, you know, even if you drop it into the Prince of Peace plate, as long as you mark your check, you know, for Brent and Emily, Ron, Margie will make sure it gets to them. But in either case, there is a separate basket for them. And then let's see. They also have a book back there, which they've written about their experiences up to this point, and you can fill people in more about that. But those are back there, $10 a copy. Again, you can just drop that into the basket back there at the end of the service if you pick one of those up. But Brent, we're glad to have you with us. I expect you plan to introduce your wife at some point, but yeah. but glad to have you with us here today. But,
thank you.
Yeah.
Good morning. It's great to be here with you. It's good to be here finally on a Sunday morning. I see familiar faces. Many of you traveled to India. Sadly, we weren't there. Our belongings were. You probably still ache in carrying our belongings back, but again, our family is so thankful and fond of you as a congregation and how you have stood behind our family. This is my family, my wife Emily. She's with me right now. It's actually her birthday today, along with, I don't have that sheet. There's somebody else's birthday too within the church. It's in the bulletin. So anyways, happy birthday to you. But this is my wife, Emily, and our daughter, Amalia, who is just about six. Sarala, who is three. And our little Ugandan boy at 19 and a half months old. It's been a whirlwind that our family has been through. As Pastor shared, first we were called to go to India, and that door closed, and it was hard on our family. Even before that, we went through the difficulty of miscarriage and gone through it twice. And for quite a bit of it, we wrestled with, God, where are you in the midst of suffering? And now we have the virus going on, and there's so much suffering in this world, and so many people ask this question, God, who are you in the midst of suffering, and where are you? Sometimes it feels like we're just alone. In our book that my wife mostly wrote, we kind of wrestle with that, and showing God in the midst of that suffering. So feel free on that. So as Pastor said, we have been working there in Uganda, Africa. We've been there for 2.5 years now. In that 2.5 years, we've been working alongside of Ambassador Institute and Pastor Nate Jory and the family. And as we have been doing that, we have been praying and considering a place to move for long term. And to switch focus a little bit, continue to encourage Ambassador Institute, but focus more on church planting. And because of that, it has caused us to really wrestle through this topic of what is church. and just praying through, God, what is it that church is? The very simple answer is that anyone who has confessed Jesus Christ as Lord is a church. Amen? That it's you and I who have confessed and humbled ourselves before the cross. We are the church. So these walls don't make it up. Prince of Peace is a small part of the church, the body of Christ. And so we have been wrestling through scripture after scripture and just saying, God, what is it? How does it look? How does it play out? If you want, I invite you to go on to YouTube. It's, man, this virus has challenged many of us. I am not tech savvy at all. But I do have a message up on YouTube looking at this same question, God, what is church? On that sermon, I look at Romans chapter 16. Verses 1 through 16 in that chapter, it's a bunch of names. It's hard to read through. I understand that. But four times in those 16 verses, Paul calls the people my beloved. I wonder just how often we ask people, man, how's my beloved? How was her week? How is she doing? How are you doing? Please greet her. We become so impersonal. And sadly, in our materialistic world, we have separated our Christian walk with our work walk, separated from our family walk, which is also separated from whatever else we like to do. And this thing is just shattered throughout Scripture, that who you are as a Christian ought to overflow in all aspects of life. So again, we wrestle, God, what is the church? And we see it as a family unit. Soon I'll be recording a previous message I did looking at Matthew 16. Again asking this question, God, what is church? And Jesus asks his disciples this question this way. He says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so what is church? Well, it's got to be rooted on that confession, right? That Jesus is, in fact, the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, in that confession, it's just amazing what Peter says. You are the Christ. You are the Savior. The Son of God. You are God. And you are not dead. You are alive. Isn't that amazing? He confessed complete doctrine of who Christ is. And this is a church. If someone doesn't stand on this very basic principle on who Jesus is, then no longer can I do ministry with you. But my ministry is to you, to bring them to Christ, to show them who Christ is. So now we look at Acts chapter 2, again with the same question. God, what is church? And it's amazing as we look at Scripture, isn't it? There's so much freedom in the expressions of the church. There's so much freedom. In our text today, we'll see two things. That they met in homes, but they also met in the temple courts. Isn't that amazing? That the church isn't required to have four walls. It's not that it's a bad thing. I love this building. I love the history of Prince of Peace. It's something to shout from the rooftops of the faithfulness of God. But this building doesn't define who you are, or it shouldn't. My home church in Tioga, they're building their new church. Hopefully will be done sometime this summer. But again, if that new church, if the new sanctuary defines who they are in the community and not the love that they show, then what's going on? So what is church? Acts chapter 2, I have 41. I'm going to read the text again. starting with verse 40. But listen to what's happening. So Acts 2, beforehand, we have Pentecost, right? The Holy Spirit coming on the believers. Peter's sermon, which starts in verse 17. But now we see this. This is a result of the preaching of the Word of God. And with many other words, he, being Peter, bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing to the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that as we open up your word, that Holy Spirit, you would open up our hearts and speak to our hearts, Lord. Change us and mold us according to your word. Father, we thank you that your word is living and active. We thank you that you promise that he who began a good work in us will see it unto completion. So we pray for that work even now, that our lives would be more glorifying to you. We love you, Father. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So what is it? What is the church? So often we ask ourselves of what the church is to look like. And sadly, because of our culture, because of the culture on materials, we look at outward signs. And so often we will fail, or we don't even want to, because it hurts to look in our hearts and ask our hearts, God, what is it within me? So let's look at this. It says that the total number, 3,000 plus, they lived with devotion. They lived with devotion. They were devoted. And sadly, so often, aren't we just devoted to filling the third stall in our garage? Making a name for ourselves. They're devoted. What were they devoted of? It says, first off, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. I love this picture. These are my friends. This is a leadership team of Ambassador Institute. These people are completely devoted to the apostles' teaching. Ambassador Institute, to graduate from this program, you have 2,200 Bible verses memorized, and you're commissioned then to go out and to teach this very curriculum. One of these men, I have reports, that would ride his bike for 1 hour to get to the class to teach the class. One of them would hop on a motorcycle and drive for hours to get to the class to teach the Word of God. They are devoted to the apostles' teachings. They are heartbroken now because Uganda is completely locked down because of COVID-19. Because of this virus, they are not able to have church. If they did, they would have force against them. Here, we might have some troubles if we disobey government, but there they would come in by force and take over. This map shows how far-reaching some of our classes are. Up in the top left, your top left, is a city called Nakasongola. Nakasongola is roughly about 4 to 5 hours away from our leadership team. And we have 4 to 5 classes within that city. Kamuli, that whole city is exploding with classes, which is an hour and a half north of Jinja. Namahengo, which is close to the Kenya border on the far right side, we graduated a class, and they have a hunger and a thirst to get this teaching into Kenya. They're devoted to the apostles' teachings. Again, this curriculum is not just a random curriculum, but one that is focused in on the Word of God. The ordinary church is a church that is completely involved in the study of biblical truth. Doctrine is everything. And sometimes we hear the word doctrine and we become scared, right? Doctrine simply means teaching. And I praise God, as much as I know Pastor Sperry, I know his heart for the Word of God, and I know the Word of God is coming from this pulpit week in and week out. And if that ever changes, I pray that it doesn't. I don't see it changing in Pastor Sperry. If that ever changes within this church, this is what we're told. This is how severe this is and how essential it is. 2 John verses 9 through 11 says it this way. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Whoa. Pretty strong, isn't it? Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Reminds me of the church in Revelation, right? Sometimes we personalize this, but this is a letter to the church of Christ telling a whole church that I am outside knocking at the door to come into the church. This church is devoid of God. Why? Possibly because of this very thing. Just devoid of the Word of God. This first congregation in Acts 2 was devoted to the Word of God. That no matter what they did together, it was in the Word of God. The strengthening of believers. Isn't it great that in a crazy world, I mean, look at what has gone on these past months. We have so many things, don't we? COVID. There's always politics, right? And then racism throughout our country and all this stuff going on, that we can approach the Word of God and know for certain that this book has never changed, that this book is the very words of God that we can stand on. The apostles were devoted to the apostles' teaching, and they were devoted to fellowship. They're devoted to fellowship. This is our home in Uganda. We have been so blessed by this home. It's just a miracle how we got to this home. And then the other picture that is hard to see, that's the back of our house. This is our Christmas Eve service. Yes, everybody is in T-shirts, and the ground is not white. I'm from Tioga, North Dakota. It's hard to get used to. This is our Christmas Eve service. We had a candlelight service. Just a beautiful time. It says that the apostles were devoted to fellowship. Later on it says, day by day, they're entering the temple courts. I wonder, this thing called the church, as we're asking God, what is church? Do we do it day by day? Or when you leave the doors of Prince of Peace, do you tell the person next to you, see you next week? See you next week. And I hope that we can walk together. We look at verses such as iron sharpens iron. Well, those pieces have to come together. We so desperately need each other. And we have seen this with the virus, haven't we? We've been so locked up and cooped up in our homes. And even the atheist has seen this. In Minneapolis, if you were to watch the news, you had people stepping out the door saying, won't you be my neighbor? Longing to see the person across the street. Longing just to see somebody. Somebody. We so desperately need each other. And if there's one thing I have prayed about through this season, it's that as the church has been forced to not meet or has chosen a time not to meet, that it has grown our love and a hunger to be together. But the question is there, isn't it? Are we devoted to one another? One teacher puts it this way. Fellowship is critical to the life of the church. Christianity is not a spectator event that happens on Sunday. It is a common shared life with other believers. A common shared life with other believers. It's not a one time you're in front of and you leave till next week. But true fellowship, this word of fellowship is probably the most overused and wrongly used word in Christianity. Fellowship is spiritual. Am I saying that you can't talk about the weather? That you can't talk about the corn? I'm not saying that. Have those conversations. But then glorify the Father who is in heaven. To seek to encourage one another. The Bible says, all the more as you see the day approaching. We must be there for each other to encourage and to lift up. This is completely rooted in the Godhead, even. Relationships. The Godhead, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We confess that we believe this, of who God is. And fellowship is just wrapped up in the very heart of who God is. We are created as relational beings. We are created needing one another. I love that leadership team. We come together every 2 weeks. And that meeting should only take 2 hours at most if we stuck to the program. But we do devotions first and it takes up 3 to 4 hours. And we talk about life, we talk about family, because we so desperately need one another. We so desperately need to be in prayer for one another. I want to encourage you, if you don't have this fellowship, seek it out this week. Find somebody saying, hey, can we get together and have a cup of coffee? Let's pray for each other. Dare I say, even confess sins to one another. I mean, what a beauty of fellowship. When all of a sudden there is a deep relationship that even if you don't confess it, you come, they can see something wrong within you. How beautiful it is. Fellowship, this type of fellowship, is precious and is worth fighting for. But don't worry, I know it's scary to confess sins to one another, yet to be vulnerable, and we hate that. So don't worry if you don't want it. It's not going to come to you. You have to fight for it. It must be intentional. You must be willing to be vulnerable. But the benefit of this is so be healed and your sins forgiven. And sin being rooted out in one's life. The bride of Christ becoming more and more beautiful for His glory. For His glory. John Wesley put it this way. John Wesley said, I want the whole Christ for my Savior. Not just part of Him. I want the whole Christ as my Savior. The whole Bible for my book. The whole church for my fellowship. Whoa. And the whole world for my mission field. You who have confessed Jesus as a Christ, the Son of the living God, this is you. And the whole church as a fellowship is even extended beyond these walls. Even beyond these walls. Our fellowship is so sweet. We let so many things divide the church, don't we? The great church, the church that God is building. We let things divide us because, man, if we disagree, get out. Instead of looking, brother, come near. Come near, help me, walk with me. And I want to walk with you. I want the whole church for my fellowship. I want the whole world for my mission field. I want the whole Christ and the whole Bible. And to walk with them. I wonder what this first church looked like. It says this, that they also devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. To the breaking of bread. This again is one of the times together. Yes, if you look closely, I had crutches. I broke my foot 2 weeks before we flew out. Yeah, my wife is amazing. 3 kids moving back, coming back. But we devote ourselves to the breaking of bread. The context here begs to, with the understanding that this fellowship of the breaking of bread consists of the Lord's Supper. Consists of the Lord's Supper. So, I said earlier that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the entire Word of God. We see in the book of Corinthians of how they were trying to do this. Right? And Paul goes to them and says, the very thing you say you're doing, the Lord's Supper, it's not the Lord's Supper you're doing. Some of you are coming in early so you can eat a lot and drink a lot. And so be a glutton and a drunkard. Where others come late and they have nothing to eat. That the apostles' teaching of and the breaking of bread is having everybody come together. To proclaim who Christ is, to rejoice in the gospel. Isn't amazing that this early church, we have seen in our text, has practiced baptism and the Lord's Supper. The sacraments are essential and an important overflow of who the church is, isn't it? Day by day, there it says in verse 41, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. About a month before I flew out, I was with Pastor Nate Jory. He's doing a church plant there in Nabokosi in his village. And we had the opportunity to celebrate with 20 people being baptized. Sure, far cry of 3,000, but amazing watching 20 people saying, yes, I confess that Jesus is in fact the Christ, the Son of the living God. One entire household being baptized in the Nile River. It's such a beautiful event, a time of celebration and encouragement of the church. Of the church. The breaking of bread. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? What has he done? What does he do for us day by day? 1 John 1:9. You have confessed your sins, right? It says, he who confesses his sins, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and must forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. As you come to him in confession, your sins are freely and fully forgiven. Freely and fully forgiven. With the Lord's Supper, it says, yes, do this in remembrance of me for the forgiveness of sins. For the forgiveness of sins. Baptism, we have the promise in 1 Peter, this baptism now saves you. Why? Because of Christ on the cross and his shed blood for you. These are essential signs of the church. They're dedicated, they're devoted to the breaking of bread. And they're devoted to the prayers. Oh, I have learned so much in Uganda by one man. One of my best friends there in Uganda, Bagatia George, Pastor Bagatia George. He is an intercessor. You know what time he wakes up in the morning? To pray for Uganda, pray for the ministry, pray for the missionaries, pray for his country and revival, 3 o'clock. And they send phone calls throughout Uganda, waking up pastors across the country. Pastor Sperry, I'm not going to call you at 3 o'clock. I'm sorry. Please don't call me at 3 o'clock. But they are so devoted to the prayers, to the praying for others, longing to see God move. But what do prayers do anyways, right? Who are we actually praying to? Maybe you have prayed prayers for certain people. You're like, God, it's just been far too long. You haven't listened to me. He does. He hears you. Man, if I learned one thing, especially after that second miscarriage, God doesn't delight in the suffering of his saints. He doesn't. And he's there with you in the midst. Cry out to him. If you're angry with him, please go to him because he knows it anyways. He knows it anyways. Go to him. Share your heart. He longs to hear from you. He longs to spend time with you. Scripture is clear of that, isn't it? Pray continually. Why? Because he's continually inviting you. Come to me, all who are weak and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Just come, he says. Come. The church was devoted to the prayers. Prayer was an important activity in the life of the Jerusalem church. And it's still an important sign of vitality in the modern congregation. Like the other activities of the early church, praying together was an expression of the believers' unity and their devotion to the apostles' teaching. One said, if you want to see the health of a congregation, look at the prayer meetings. Oof. Look at the prayer meetings. Look at the prayer life. This early church was devoted to the prayers of the people. They lived together with devotion. They lived together with no need. With no need. Now, I'm not going to say that this was a socialist church. That's not what it's saying. We see later on in the book of Acts where there's needs, right? And the apostles set up deacons, the deacon Stephen, the first martyr of the church, right? But they sought out the needs of their brother and sister. Oh, man. There's one family that we love, and they're just so generous with what they have. And they have nothing, and they just give it. The amazing thing is they have a bag of frozen blueberries. We can't get berries in Uganda. If you ask us what is the one thing we miss, berries. We can't get them. If we get them, they're not good. But every time this family has somebody over, they make something with the blueberries. It's like, man, I would hoard those things because I'm too busy thinking about what I want. They came to us and said, you know, we have done the math. And these blueberries should have been gone a long time ago. God just kept adding. Do we trust God to provide for our needs? Or do we question him every single turn we make? We look at Israel in the desert and we judge them. We crucify them. Every time we read, how could you be so absent-minded? You just saw the Red Sea split and you grumble against God? Isn't it the same in our lives? When God gives us, we put it in the pocket. We wait till tomorrow because we know we're going to need it. The Israelites did it with the manna, and it became moldy. God says, seek after me, my righteousness, and my kingdom. I'll give you what you need. Turn your eyes upon me. Do we believe? Oh God, help us in our unbelief. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 37 says this about the early church. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. There is not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who is also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. They were devoted to one another. They lived together with no need. They deeply loved and cared for the needs of the people. Man, I've seen that over and over again with my friends there. And the Ugandans just continually reaching out, loving each other, and giving everything that they have, time and money, because they loved each other. What else about this early church? It says they lived together and were growing. Our text says that day by day, again, day by day together, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. Those who are being saved. My family, we have been asked, we're excited for this next move. We're moving up to a town named Gulu, about 7.5 hours away from Nathan Rhoda Jory, 7 hours away from where we live right now. But we're looking at going up there and doing church planting. I'm 35 years old. I have never done church planting before. Planting from zero contacts. We have some missionary friends there, but no contacts. What? Where do we go from here? I'm encouraged by that text in Matthew, where Peter says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's got to be the foundation. And then it says that Christ will build his church. The gates of hell will not overcome it. Will you join us in prayer for the Acholi people? I have a lot to tell you about the Acholi people, but our time is running out very quickly, too quickly. But the Acholi people, please pray for them that God would work in their hearts and open up doors for the gospel to go forward. We're excited for what is about to happen. Would you pray that God would use us to build his church? Yes, I said, I don't know where to go from here. I know one thing, that I'm going to be a proclaimer of who Jesus is and what he has done. And calls us to love one another. I love what's happening here in Western North Dakota with Killdeer. Would you continue to devote Killdeer to prayers as we're planting a church there in Western North Dakota? Pray for the hearts of the people within the city of Killdeer to be softened to the Word of God. You know, if it's you and I who are responsible for building the church, let's get out of here. Let's do something else. It says God builds his church. And that church, the gates of hell cannot tear it down. What is the church? They're devoted to the apostles' teachings. They're devoted of living life together. They're growing in who God is. This morning, so this is a picture of Gulu. Just a reminder, please pray for the Jories as they're doing church planting there in Nabokosi. Pray for us as we're looking at Gulu and Michael Rokenbrot serving there too. Pray for the Burgers, please. They're looking at leaving Uganda on a repatriation flight. Pray for them. Pray that safe travels happen for them as well. But for us today, this is a marketplace in Gulu. Just a reminder, would you pray over this marketplace? See the souls, precious, eternal human souls there? Pray for them, please. But you and I, today, are we growing? Our text says the church grew day by day. And I'm wondering for us, are we willing to be challenged by the Word of God? Are we willing to be uncomfortable with one another, confessing sins to one another, and growing one to another? Yes, my family, we're called to Uganda, Africa, and you're called to Beulah, North Dakota. Let your light so shine before men. Oh, Lord, help us, right? Now, how can we encourage each other to do this? To strengthen one another. Not let the doubts of the world or the devil to creep in. God is faithful. He is faithful to his church. You don't need to fear. You who have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, your names are written in the book of heaven. We have something greater to look forward to. You don't need to fear. Jesus Christ lived, died, was buried, and rose again for you, for his church to grow. Oh, Lord God, we so desperately need you. Lord, as we look at our lives and look at this text, so often I confess that my life doesn't look like this. And Jesus, I need you. I so desperately need you. Father, forgive us for our doubt. Forgive us for our shame. Cleanse us, Lord Jesus. Unite this body of believers. Unite them, Lord Jesus. If there is any hostility in this room for one another, would it melt away because of the cross of Christ? We pray that your light would shine through Prince of Peace, that you would continue to use this congregation to be proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout this land. Oh, Father, we pray for the Acholi. We thank you for them. We thank you for how precious they are to you. Father, would you grow my love for the people? Would you grow the love even of this congregation for them? And we pray that you would work in their hearts, Lord. Would you build your church there? And would you be honored and glorified? We love you, Lord. Thank you for your love and forgiveness upon us. We pray this all in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.